Going to be an intriguing offseason, Paul, isn't it?
Jeff, every year we say that.
It's more intriguing-er this time.
You know, it's every year we say, oh, man, this is going to be quite the offseason. And I think the nature of basketball lends itself to that because Doc Rivers, who is one of the best, always says it. You know, you would never have thought that the Celtics last year, having Miami down on the mat and ready to go to the NBA Finals from where they were, you'd never have thought that, you know, Ray Allen would pick up and go to Miami of all places, Miami. And Doc says it best. When you have the team there and things are signed and it's just you, you're great. As soon as free agency comes in and other people are allowed to come in and stick their two cents in, that's when things change. And we see this every year with the Raptors. It's the most interesting offseason because there's so many balls in the air. You just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what, you know, management is thinking, what, you know, agents are thinking, what happens with players and trades that may come up. So it is, and it's from the top down this year, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes down. I mean, looking at the standings as I do every morning, you know, there we were with the predictions, right? Toronto, if everything goes well, I thought they could get eighth. More realistically, somewhere probably between 8 and 11. Well, you know what? They're tied for ninth right now with Philadelphia, and we'll lose it on the tiebreaker unless they win tonight and Philly, loses the last game. And we look at the start, right? The start of the season, 15 of the first 22 on the road. And I remember having a discussion with you and I that were talking at one point, and I said, if they come out 7-15, 8-14, they're right in the mix. And I know some people looked at me when I said that and wrote that, I had three heads. Like, what are you talking about? That's like eight games under 500. I'm like, well, considering the road schedule in this team, and it's amazing what three or four more wins would have done for them at that time. And you know, it's easy to look at the schedule now, Jeff, as we do, and say that, you know, they're on a roll and they're winning. But let's face it, Atlanta, you know, Josh Smith last night, all of a sudden a sore knee in the second half. Al Horford, who one of the guys in Atlanta told me, oh, I don't think Al knew he had a sore shoulder last night. But, yeah. I mean, it may be a matchup thing. It sounds like they're trying to get Indiana because it's a better matchup and your players aren't staying in New York City and it's easier to get to the practice place and, you know, that you split the season series with them even though they're ahead of you as opposed to getting Brooklyn. So you have to look at these games, and it's the easiest thing to do. We used to say it every year with the Jays, right, Jeff? Oh, you know, look forward to next year. Look, they're building, because they're winning meaningless games with September call-ups, right?
Right.
So that being said, though, it does look like DeMar and Rudy are kind of figuring it out. So is Kyle Lowry. And to quote you off the top, it's going to be intriguing.
Does this team need to get Rudy done long term? Does that have to, you know, well, no, let me go this way. What's this team's, give me the three off season priorities for this team in order from your point of view.
A 3-point scorer that can stretch the floor and create space on the inside for Valanciunas, who's coming like gangbusters. One of the assistant coaches in the last four or five games, I mean, we always go and sit at the other end and talk to the assistant coaches, guys that we know on the other team. And the one guy couldn't even say his name. He goes, hey, that Valanciunas, that, I said, Valanciunas. He goes, yo, that kid, he can play. So they need a 3-point shooter to stretch the floor, give Jonas some space to work on the inside, because then you can play conventionally, Jeff. You can play inside out. And that's the way the good teams win. All of this perimeter stuff is great, but people are trying to play that way because they don't have they can't play conventionally because they don't have a good big man. So they need a 3-point shooter. They need an experienced veteran point guard that can, and Kyle's getting it right now. He looks like he's getting it right now, but a guy that can, you know, a guy like Jose Calderon.
I was going to say, you're describing Jose Calderon. They need Jose Calderon back.
They need a guy like that. Fewer chances, just a little more control with the ball, getting you into your offense, getting to the ball to the right people at the right time. And as I said, it's not a knock on Kyle because he's never had to do it before. He's figured that part out. But what he did when he was figuring that out was sacrifice his aggressiveness, the type of guy that they thought would be a good complement to a Jose, mm-hmm. because he's trying to become the 2-in-1. And I think he's figuring it out. That being said, another veteran player that has the experience. I mean, you look at some of these teams that are in the playoffs, you know, top to bottom, and they've got a guy. They've got a guy that's been there, that's been in the playoffs, that knows what it's like. I mean, Toronto's got Rudy. That's great. They need a couple more. Look at the rest of the guys. None of those guys have had that opportunity. And then the last thing, Jeff, it's kind of number four. Ross, Valanciunas, they need to keep improving. You know, they need to keep, working at their games, play pickup against, Terrence Ross in Washington, get over to Seattle and play with, the professional guys in some of those leagues. You know, mm-hmm. Valanciunas, play with your national team, yeah, but stay here and get to L.A., get to a big man camp. Just work on your game, because if you're going to lean on those guys to be big parts next year, they got to be able to handle it, and they're going to gain the experience on the fly, but they better have the game to go with it.
Do Brian and Dwayne both stay here?
You know, Jeff, I looked at the Brian situation. I said this on the air. I said, regardless of what they decide, there will be a sect of the fan base that's unhappy. If they bring him back, there's people that say, 7 years, nothing's going on here, missed the playoffs for 5 years, he should go. And then there's other people on the other side that said, hey, wait a minute. The team won when they lost Bosch, and that situation kind of jumped up. They won 22 games. Then the next year they won 23 in a shortened season. This year they're going to miss the playoffs by 4 or 5 games, winning, 32, 33. They say when you get in the lottery, it takes 6 to 7 years to get out. They're obviously building. The wins are coming along. I think they have much better talent. Think about last year at this time, right? They have much better talent. So there's people on the other side that will say, well, you should have kept him.
Jonesy?
Change things up.
I guarantee you that if you put 10 people in a room, 9 of them are the people who were saying 7 years, five of them out of the playoffs, he's got to go. Like, right. I get your point, but I think the overall, I think if they bring Brian back, they've got one hell of a selling job to do with this, with the fan base.
Yeah, well, as like I said, there'll be people unhappy on either side, Jeff, and you and I have both been around sports long enough to know that sometimes it's not always what meets the eye.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
yeah.
And then, Dwayne, it depends on Brian. I mean, if a new guy comes in or a new general manager comes in, what does Dwayne have? He's got a year on his contract, and then, he's sitting on the same situation that Brian was in last year. So I just think everything, once they decide on Brian, it'll follow from there. The Raptors have had I'm just going over my notes here one last time for tonight. The third most games in the NBA, more than half their games, have been within 2 possessions, 5 points, with a minute to go, either leading by 5 or trailing by 5 with a minute to go. That's the third most in the NBA. Problem is, they're 24th in winning percentage, or sorry, 25th in winning percentage. Mm-hmm. They don't win those games.
Right.
They're 16 and 26.
Right.
I mean, hey, give me 3 or 4 more of those, Jeff, and see what happens. So and people probably don't want to hear this because you can twist numbers any way, but ended up in the bar with Charles Barkley on Monday night.
Yeah, you could twist that anyway. You're right.
And
Speaking of twisted.
I kind of poked my head in just to see who was there because he was on the treadmill beside me in the workout room.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
And said, call me later. And when I called him, and I don't know how many adult beverages Sir Charles had had.
When he was on the treadmill?
No.
Oh, okay, in the bar. All right.
In the bar. But he put his thumb and his index finger together. He said, yo, man, is this close to turning things around when you bat? And I said, I know, Charles, I say that too, but nobody believes me. You say it, I got a story. And I think that's what he was implying with Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting.